This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. Vance Bolter, the suspect accused of killing a Minnesota state lawmaker and her husband in their home this weekend, is now in custody. Governor Walz thanking law enforcement.
Spent Father's Day away from their families to deliver justice for Melissa and Mark Hortman and their children who spent this Father's Day alone.
Emergency services in Israel now say at least five people were killed in a new wave of Iranian airstrikes. It comes days after Israel launched a coordinated attack on Iranian nuclear sites. ABC's Jordana Miller.
They are scenes of vast destruction that I think have really shocked Israelis. For an Israeli to see whole neighborhoods destroyed, this is something that the country has never seen since Israel was established. So the country feels like it is in real war mode.
Meanwhile, 38 people have been killed in Gaza after a shooting near food distribution centers. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The man accused of shooting two Minnesota lawmakers and their spouses, killing two people, is in custody. With more, here's Savannah Tome Olson.
Officials say Vance Bolter impersonated a police officer early Saturday morning in order to kill Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband, Mark. Authorities say he also shot Minnesota State Senator John Hoffman and his wife, Yvette, who have had surgery and are reportedly in stable condition. Authorities allegedly found a manifesto of sorts, which listed dozens of Democratic lawmakers he wanted to target, and a source confirmed to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel 11 Wisconsin lawmakers were on that list. At least one of his cars was found in Faxon, Minnesota, which is about a 90-minute drive west of the Wisconsin border.
Security for political events in Wisconsin was increased over this weekend as a result, including the Wisconsin Democratic Convention. Monday is the grand opening of the Merrick Park Arboretum. The brand new attraction to La Crosse will celebrate its opening with a ribbon cutting on Monday at 10:30 a.m. The free event includes tours, a printing demonstration, tree climbing, and more. There will be food trucks and activities for children as well. The Arboretum Grand Opening event is from 10 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. at Merrick Park. There's no cost to take part in the activities. You can find more information on the City of La Crosse Parks, Rec, and Forestry page. Today in La Crosse City Government, the Board of Public Works will meet to review several communications permits. The Aviation Board will go over La Crosse Regional Airport plans and operations, and the City Plan Commission will continue to work on its five-year budget. The Board of Zoning Appeals and La Crosse Center Board will meet tomorrow. On Thursday, the La Crosse County Board meeting is canceled due to a lack of agenda items. The Board of Park Commissioners meeting on Thursday is also canceled. It'll start to feel more like summer this week. Today, scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible with highs well into the 80s. Storm chances increase in the overnight hours with some stronger storms possible. The main severe weather threat will be hail. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers cut the cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers head to Chicago to open a series against the Cubs tomorrow night. Yesterday, the Brewers beat the Cardinals 3-2 to win the four-game series and move up into second place. Did things get testy with St. Louis over the weekend? The Brewers' Trevor McGill.
Tensions were high. Everything surrounding that's happened over the series. So, yeah, that's huge for us. 3 out of 4 and get out of the jam like that.
Rhys Hoskins got beaned. The Cardinals' Wilson Contreras having words with the Brewers' bench. Pat Murphy.
Cardinals Brewers, man, there's always going to be high emotion. The health of the game is that you let players, especially veterans like that, handle what they handle. If we feel like somebody's throwing at us on purpose, the umpires will take care of it.
Girls high school softball, the Kokona Ghosts, with a 1-0 win over Kenosha Bradford to clinch their fourth state division title in the last 5 years.
It hasn't quite settled in yet, but it's an amazing feeling. I wouldn't want to go out any other way, so it's just incredible.
That's senior pitcher Carly Meredith with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today. Our high in the low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, thunderstorms likely, could be quarter inch or more of rain. Even up to a half inch in spots. Our low in the mid 60s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with highs in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by Matt Rothschild. We go deep on book banning in Florida. Did you read Judy Blume? Did you like it? Well, Florida kids won't be able to read it anymore. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Right on time. There we go.
Look at it. Cross Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, this doesn't look like my Lake Wissota studio at all, Parker.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't feel like it, let me tell you.
No, not even close. But, you know, here we are somewhere on the prairies of Saskatchewan, complete with, you know, prairie dogs popping in and out around here. And John and Gordy joining us from our Madison station as well. In A1, Parker's in A2, and we've explained that story before, but it's going to be worth explaining again this time. John and Gordy, you hearing me okay?
We can hear you.
Yes. Okay. All yep. right. So tell me, I've heard Parker's version. Tell me the story now of how you guys chased away my 7:30 guest.
Well, we were on the air.
That was interesting.
And a person started wandering into the station.
As one does. Yes. You know.
And was, you know, and so he just continued to wander for a couple of
he
minutes.
He was patiently waiting. And we thought that maybe we had double booked. And that's how we approached it, as a double book.
Yeah. So when
we apologized,
we went into a commercial break and started talking to him, and we didn't know who he was. He didn't know who he had talked to be on the air. We thought, you know, maybe our previous producer Sam had booked him, and we didn't get the word.
And I like how this is everything about this says, you know, Luke booked this guy. And so I'm putting this all on Mathers right now. Yeah. Mathers okay. should have been there to hold his hand and walk him down to that broom closet where it's not obvious that there is an A2 to go along with the palatial A1. So I thought it was hilarious. Yeah. You know, live radio.
We freaked out and we're apologizing to you. Oh, right, no, you're on the air.
No apology needed there. You never apology needed if you bring a good story. And that, guys, that's a good story. I like
good
that.
Story, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I hope you can rebook him at some future date.
You know, I got to rebook a flight so I can get out of Canada here, you know, first before I can get to you. So we got a one step at a time. And again, it's Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. Good guy, good group. No doubt that they will be back. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well to talk about the forecast. It's a sunny, partly cloudy morning up here on the prairies of Saskatchewan, where again, it got really warm yesterday. But Brittany, what does the picture look like for Wisconsin today?
You know, before I get to that, I have a question for you though, Pat. Up in Canada, yes. How's that wildfire smoke?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It was not great on Friday and Saturday, but it was pretty much gone on Sunday because, I mean, you've seen the maps and you see how the smoke gets grabbed by the wind and kind of rounds the bend and then pours into Wisconsin and Minnesota and places like that. So Saskatchewan, or where Regina is, it's like due south of the fires, but the way the wind was blowing, you weren't getting as much smoke. And now today there's not a smoke problem at all, but they will tell you the fires are still a major problem up there. You know, we think of it as like uninhabited, you know, maybe some Eskimos have a summer home there, but no, there are actually a lot of folks living up there that are losing homes. Is the smoke situation better down there yet?
Oh, it's trying to. There, this morning we were still at moderate levels, but a lot of the places up north were getting much better. So we're getting there. Goodness, that's scary though to think about and to be so close to as well.
Right. So what do we got around Wisconsin now?
So right now we're waking up to temperatures at about 52 degrees in Superior, 70 right now in La Crosse, which that is warmer than the north got all weekend long. So we are warming up all across the state today. Highs making it to about 80 to 85 degrees. It's muggy. It's getting sticky. It's getting humid. We've got a little bit of light rain rolling through southern parts of the state. A few showers and storms expected to pop up this afternoon. And then a major line wanting to roll through this evening, starting northwest and pushing through the entire state through late tonight and overnight. Now, of course, as this storm starts, probably around 4 to 6 o'clock or so far northwest, it's going to be in its worst situation where we could see some large hail, damaging high wind gusts, and a tornado or two is possible. Can't rule that out. So pay attention when they start to spark up around Minneapolis and they push in towards western Wisconsin. That's, of course, where they're going to be the strongest. But as they move into central Wisconsin, they should be weakening. And off into eastern Wisconsin by Lake Michigan, they're pretty much going to ease up and dissipate there. But those will be moving through overnight, late tonight, and more are expected again tomorrow as that heat and humidity sticks here with us.
It would help if I took myself off mute where there I was trying to have some coffee here. My friends up here in Regina, the one is a native of Saskatchewan, she is, but her husband is from London originally. Doesn't drink coffee, nothing but tea. And so look, they tried to make coffee for me, but they only had these little teeny espresso cups for the coffee.
Pinky up.
Which has there's definitely some tea in there. Nobody should drink tea early in the morning, but we'll give it our best. Brittany, thank you so much. I hope to talk to you from normal circumstances tomorrow.
Absolutely. Safe travels back.
Whatever the heck those are. So we noted in today's history lesson that it was on this day in 1980 that the original Blues Brothers movie came out. If you take a look behind John and Gordy on social media, you see one of the original promo posters for the Blues Brothers, or at least that's the way it kind of looks here with these two handsome dudes in their sunglasses. John and Gordy, what's the story on that? Did you guys have a cameo role, or what's with the promo photo there?
Oops, I think we lost their audio.
Let's see. Now we're going to ask Dom to turn up their microphones so that we can hear them again. Hey, there we go.
We'll see.
Here. Look at this. We're watching Dom now race into the studio. Oh, I know. It's like having mimes on the radio, you know?
It's exactly what you want on radio is mimes.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. They're stuck in a box now. Oh, and they've...
And now they're just gone. Locked out. Oh, geez.
Well, I think we've... Clearly, John and Gordy have had enough of this.
Yes.
These are talented, large market individuals that do not need to be spending time with a guy who can't even get out of Saskatchewan, you know, to run a radio show. But we do see that they are trying to pop on again, so that'll be nice. So let me set up what we're going to do after we're done talking with John and Gordy for this half hour. It's at that point that I have to depart for the airport and hopefully get out of here today, and then be back in Chippewa Falls tomorrow with you for another edition of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, formerly Up North News Radio, where we will talk about the news of the day. The news of today has been honestly pretty sad, and so we haven't spent nearly as much time dwelling on it because... not just for the sadness, but again, the redundancy. We've been thinking about this all weekend, the murder of a Minnesota lawmaker and her husband, and the shooting of another Minnesota lawmaker and his wife. The suspect was arrested late yesterday, and you know, based on his extensive history, it appears to be continuing this string of right-wing political violence, which is becoming far too normal in this country. And I guess we can only hope that justice is done for him, and that in doing so, it will, you know, prevent any other possibilities where people think that this is going to be normal in America. I worry about it, though, because we've managed to normalize school shootings. It would have seemed to me after Columbine, this nation would have moved heaven and earth to do something about the gun problem in this country. And instead, there's been no shortage of Americans who get elected to office and say to you with a straight face, it's not that, it's a mental health problem. And yet the Joint Finance Committee this week in the legislature cut mental health funding for schools. So we have a lot of work to do to cover the news of the situation. But again, we'll cover more of that tomorrow when hopefully things are more back to normal. Not what this is, which is poor Johnny Gordy being bounced around.
Yeah, can you hear us?
Now I can hear you just fine again. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show, John and Gordy, after a long absence. Yes, sir.
I have a question for you. First of all, why are you in Canada, and why is your graphics say you're stranded there? Why did you go to Canada in the first place, and why are you stranded?
We have some dear friends up here just outside of Regina, Saskatchewan. We actually met them during our 3 years living in the Caribbean on Grand Cayman. And Sherry was working down there as an OBGYN. I was working at the TV station. She was an OBGYN, and her pediatrician was originally from London. He met a girl who was originally from Regina. They got married, and we came back from Grand Cayman back to Wisconsin, and she came back to Regina with a husband from London in tow. And that's so now, instead of visiting them on an island, we have to come up here on the tundra to come see them.
What a difference.
Yes. Okay. So that's our convoluted thing of how we got there. Okay. Going to be a quick weekend visit. No problem. We get in, we get out, nothing to it, unless, of course, the plane doesn't start. And apparently the airline up here in Canada, not known for having a lot of spare planes lying around. So we have to hope that this thing heads over to Barney's garage and is fixed in time for a flight this morning instead. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it because I can tell in other people when I was sending messages like, oh, way to extend your vacation. I'm like, you know what? If I were going to extend a vacation, it wouldn't have been through all the stuff we went through yesterday, only to have this little sip of interesting tasting coffee.
That is the smallest cup I've ever seen. Do they have nice diners up there? And
oh yeah, they do. They have food? Yep, they have great food. Oh, can we talk about the poutine for a second?
Please.
Yes.
No, if we do, I'll never leave. It's how is poutine not invented in Wisconsin? It's cheese curds.
Yes.
It's gravy. It's French fries. I do not understand how this wasn't invented in Madison or, you know, Wisconsin Dells or something like that. Canada, you did right by our cheese curds.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it should be a big thing down here too. Why didn't we absorb some of that down here in Wisconsin?
I know.
So it would close. Have been,
we're just so focused on making sure it squeaks just right that we forgot there's ways to serve it up warm and delicious. So
well, you might remember one of the politicians at the state capitol, a Republican, wanted to take butter off our tables.
Oh my gosh.
You remember they wanted to repeal that law that required butter on every table in a restaurant in Wisconsin.
Sacrilege. Just absolute sacrilege. Jeez.
I know.
How was your guys' this weekend?
Good. Gordy attended the protest down here, the No Kings protest.
Yeah, and it was well attended, about 15,000 people in the state capitol area and up to the library mall. And they had a women's march before the protest that happened at the capitol. And everything was very peaceful. In fact, it was kind of a festive atmosphere. Didn't see any signs of any trouble. I don't think there were any problems with it. And it was well attended. And
yeah, it was 15,000, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And then the other thing that you had in some communities was you actually had a pride march that was going on. And then in some cases, they kind of, you know, merged at some point to become more of a larger rally. And as we were talking earlier in the last hour and hearing from an organizer of one of the Eau Claire protests, they were talking about how refreshing it was to see that there were people, Republicans or fiscal conservatives, who said, you know, this is not the kind of world that we want to live in, where we've normalized things that should not be normalized, and that people wanted to come together and say, we can do better than this.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's such a strange thing to see the military on our streets.
Yeah.
And the normalization of putting the military on our streets.
Yeah, it was, and it shouldn't be. And I think that that really sent a statement this weekend that people would protest that way instead of trying to disrupt what was happening in D.C. So for folks along in the network, a local update is next for some of you. For the rest of you hanging here, we're going to talk more with John and Gordy. And then in our next half hour, Parker will be talking to author Laura Bird. And that's all coming to you from, well, I used to say the heart of America's up north, but... the Canadian, from the heart of Canada's up north, up here on the prairies. Thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Minutes from now, we will be visiting with Jane Matinair. Well, I mean, we won't be. I won't be. I'm heading to the airport in just a little bit here. But Parker will be talking to Jane Matinair about what's coming up, along with Greg Bach on Matinair on Air, coming up at 9 o'clock here across Civic Media Radio Network. John and Gordy continue with us for a few minutes more before they run away from their busy workday and I run away to try to be back in America again.
Well, yeah, that's a big thing on that, Pat. Are you being held hostage? You know, Canada is not very happy with the U.S. They don't want to be the first 51st state, and they're holding on to you until somebody backs down on this.
It could be. I mean, I joked about it for the past few days, like, well, I'll see on Monday if they let me back in. But I thought it would be a problem with, you know, American Border Patrol going, oh, yeah. You can't come right. back in. Or yeah. if they do let me in, it's to put me on a different plane to go to Guantanamo or something like that.
But have your papers in order, yes.
Yeah. I never dreamed I'd be undone by a prop-driven airplane. I got in this airplane. I'm like, wait, propellers? Do we still use those things? Yeah. I mean, honest to God, okay. And it worked. It was fine on the way out. But I don't know. If the props weren't spinning right, then I guess I'll take a day off. If it takes them a little time to figure out if they go – maybe in Canada they go counterclockwise instead of clockwise? Maybe
I'm wondering.
Or it's metric. I don't know. What's the value of the Canadian dollar to the speed of a propeller? I'm not sure. So we've tried to cover the day's news as best we can, including the rallies and things. And Los Angeles was a focal point of it, guys. And you talked to somebody on your show today that really gave you a first-person account of things.
Yeah, we were talking with Tiffany Hobbs from KFI AM in Los Angeles, and she really gave us a rundown of everything that's been happening there for the last week or so, and it was a good interview.
Yeah, she was pretty impressed with the police in LA. They've been very cooperative, even though you've seen some confrontations, of course, but the police have been very good with a lot of the protesters out there. It's the curfews that we're really seeing where there is a confrontation. They're trying to clear the streets for that curfew. They have a curfew from 6 a.m., I believe, until 8 a.m., or 8 p.m., rather. So that's the curfew time. And they're trying to clear the streets.
Yeah.
So it's
8 p.m. till 6 a.m. overnight.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Well, I mean, for most folks, there are some folks who they probably should not be allowed out in the daytime. Yeah, but yeah, your point is well taken. Here's the thing about perspective that we've tried to get on the situation. One is, like you said, it's just a handful of incidents that get magnified. But we also, as part of, we had some journalists on Friday with our usual Week in Review panel, and they pointed out the allure of fire, that you can have largely peaceful protests everywhere. But if one person sets like a dumpster on fire, and it's many blocks away from the main action, but if you're a TV producer, you tend to focus on the thing that's burning, and suddenly people think Los Angeles is on fire, because that's certainly right. people are ginning it up. And I'm glad you got to talk to somebody that put it much more in perspective. In a city of 11 million people, how little bit of this is actual activity, and how little bit of that is actually problematic activity.
That's right. There are people out there that are protesting. There are organizers that go out there and actually control the crowd as well. And a lot of people don't understand or even know that that's happening. And they do need a spokesperson at these very confusing events. There's a lot of people doing certain things, moving in certain ways, but these organizers are able to keep things in check for most of the time.
You know where some of that comes from, I'm quite certain, is all the Act 10 protests in Madison in 2011. I don't know if either one of you were down.
Oh, we were there. We were definitely there. Yeah.
Okay. Where, again, you saw I'm not going to call it self-government, but you certainly saw people trying to take the reins and say, okay, here are some ground rules, here are some resources, here's where to get food or first aid or anything like that. And look, sometimes people say what they will about protests, but sometimes in mass events like this, you really start to see the best of people looking out for each other.
In fact, in those Act 10 protests, there was no vandalism and very few arrests, if any. Mm-hmm. That says a lot about Madison.
I'm confused. I was given reason to believe by Scott Walker that the Capitol burned down.
Didn't they come up with like an estimate of $6 million damage to the Capitol?
Yes. Yes. And it was like,
it was just the lawn and maybe $50,000 just to repair the lawn where people had been standing. So
Which you could have gotten at, just your ordinary Madison rave or something like that.
Yes. So,
you guys have anything coming up this week that you're looking forward to, or it's just another great week to be a Madison morning radio host.
Well, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Jesse Christensen. Now, he is an expert in all the new products that are coming out in the cannabis area. But this is actually something that's therapeutic. It's a cannabis. He's into he has an organization called Cannabinoids Therapeutics.
Yes.
And they're getting, he's more into the medical side of cannabis and how it can relieve tension and help you out. So they've developed some sort of taffy. It sounds like something you'd see in Wisconsin Dells, perhaps. Some taffy or fudge.
A whole new line of taffy.
But we're going to find out all about that from Jesse Christensen tomorrow.
Yeah, he calls it Laffy Taffy, doesn't he?
I think something like that. Well, that's a good name for it if he hasn't called it yet. You should call it that. Yes.
There you go. Okay, well, good. We got that to look forward to, folks. If you're not in the Madison area, you can catch it on the Civic Media app. And if you're in the Madison area and you want to bounce back and forth between shows, you find us over there as well. John and Gordy, thank you guys so much. Thanks for rolling with the punches here, and we'll see if we can't have a normal day with normal guests and a normal host in the normal place. All right.
All right, Pat. Thanks.
Have
Pat.
A great day, guys. All right. Coming up on the program tomorrow, hopefully with me in Chippewa Falls, we'll be talking to Hans Breitenmoser about President Trump's apparent flip-flop on deportation raids that affect farming. And also Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will recap last weekend's state Democratic convention and all the reaction to his column about Governor Tony Evers. I'm Pat Kreitlow, stranded in Regina, heading to the airport now. Parker Olson's going to be talking to author Laura Bird and then Jane Mantiner, all coming up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. See you tomorrow.
Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. On Saturday, dozens of protests against the Trump administration were held across Wisconsin. The No Cakes protest drew thousands of people around the state. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei-Olson.
Madison's demonstration had about 15,000 people pushing back against the Trump administration. Madison police say this was a peaceful protest. Three people were arrested for spray painting the law enforcement memorial. Police say other attendees reported it and asked police to intervene because they wanted the whole event to stay calm.
Here in La Crosse, a little over 1,000 people took part in the No Kings protest. To our east, a few hundred folks turned out in Viroqua, as well as over 100 people in Richland Center. Eau Claire saw over 2,000 protesters. Monday is the grand opening of the Merrick Park Arboretum. The brand new attraction to La Crosse will celebrate its opening with a ribbon cutting on Monday at 10:30 a.m. The free event includes tours, a pruning demonstration, tree climbing, and more. There will be food trucks and activities for children as well. The Arboretum grand opening event is from 10 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. at Merrick Park. There's no cost to take part in the activities. You can find more information on the City of La Crosse Parks, Rec, and Forestry page. One of the legislative proposals seeking to limit school referendums is through the committee stage. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
A bill to restrict how school districts could request tax increases through referendums had a public hearing in the Assembly Education Committee on Thursday. Delafield Republican Representative Cindy Duchow says too many districts are asking for more money. She wonders how much money is too much money for school districts. Eau Claire Democrat Christian Phelps says districts are already practicing fiscal responsibility by asking their voters for a tax increase and wondered why Republicans would want to strip local control from schools.
If the bill passes the legislature, it's unlikely to have support from Governor Tony Evers. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Alan Ritchson has played Reacher for 3 seasons now, and season 4 is currently in production. It's a good gig because there are 29 Reacher books, and each one equals one TV season, which could keep an actor working for quite a while. The role is iconic and based on the books by Lee Child. Ritchson says when he won the role, he was nervous about trying to fill the shoes of Tom Cruise, who played the character in the movies. Ritchson says he was really thrilled when he got the part, but recently said that he was even more excited when he realized the character Reacher in the book eventually has thinning hair. Richson says he erupted in cheers when he read that because there is no pressure now to not go bald, which for a guy can be a challenge over the course of 29 TV seasons. Great show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today. Our high in the low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, thunderstorms likely could be quarter inch or more of rain. Even up to a half inch in spots. Our low in the mid 60s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with highs in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the news from over the weekend and wrap it up with audio sorbet and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I am not the aforementioned Pat Kreitlow. He is hopefully en route to the airport so he can return stateside from our friends in the Great North. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat for this final half hour here on a Monday morning of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow across the Civic Media Radio Network. Author Laura Bird is with us now, and this time around, for your summer reading recommendation, she's going to help us understand memoirs. They're not the same as autobiographies, which I learned just recently, so in my mind, very similar, but you're going to tell us about the difference in the characteristics and give us several examples you might want to pick up for your next addition to your nightstand, your beach bag, or your bookshelf. Laura Bird, welcome to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you. It is awesome to be here in studio.
Yes, yes. Great. You're joining us in studio. We are thrilled to have you. Pat was looking forward to having you in the studio for the first time for this conversation, and I kind of get to steal his thunder. So
it's great to be here.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's excellent to have you with us. And so autobiographies versus memoirs, picking it up for the summer reading list. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what makes the two different?
Sure. Let me start by saying I'm so happy to be talking about memoirs because it is one of my favorite genres. You know, I think in life, we all go through tough times. We all go through difficulties. And sometimes we feel really alone in those. But when you pick up a book and you open up the pages, you find that there are so many other people that have been through similar experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's very comforting in a way, I think, to find that sense of validation and even a sense of community, if you will. In fact, James Baldwin, a novelist, once said, "You think your pain and your heartbreak are unprecedented in the history of the world, but then you read." So yet another reason. Yeah,
yes.
It is. It's yet another reason why I love reading so much. But to answer your question, I think readers sometimes get autobiographies and memoirs mixed up. So I want to just start there.
Okay.
Whereas autobiographies and other nonfiction titles emphasize facts, memoirs, which is the French word for memory or reminisce, focus on personal experience and emotional truth. So writers of memoirs kind of get a chance to play with their memories in order to tell an engaging story. And for this reason, memoirs are not really bound to traditional expectations around chronology and factual accuracy, like autobiographies and other nonfiction books are. So it's a little more creative, a little more
leeway there.
Okay. Yeah. So you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah. And I was asking you this morning because the first thing that came to mind, the closest thing that I've read recently was Storyteller by Dave Grohl, who was the drummer for Nirvana and then the front man for the Foo Fighters.
Yes.
And I was like, I don't know. Is this a memoir or is this an autobiography? And so, yeah, you in fact told me memoir.
Yeah. If he wrote it, and I have not read that one, I've heard great things about it, but I think there is a lot of creative leeway there. So I would make that, I would call that a memoir, which is a great segue because I feel like when you're reading memoirs, there are sort of two types in general of memoirs. You get the celebrity memoir, which is what we're talking about, right? And then we get the memoir written by kind of the everyday person, which is what I'm going to talk about today.
Okay.
But,
and folks, if you're just joining us, we're with Laura Bird, author, giving us some recommendations for your summer reading list. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat is
heading towards the airport, going to be returning to the United States. I am Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat for this final half hour of the show. So you've got some recommendations for those everyday kind of memoirs for the summer reading list.
I do. Do you want me to tell you really quick? If you love a celebrity memoir, and maybe some of your listeners do, in 2025, there are some very famous people coming out with their tell-alls. And I'm not really going to talk about them today, but Tina Knowles, Chelsea Handler, Jeremy Renner, Brooke Shields, Bill Gates, Margaret Atwood, Joe Piscopo, and Cher all have books coming out this year.
Yes. It's a long list. So that's going to be maybe a subject for another morning.
Maybe,
But this morning, you've got a couple of recommendations for memoirs written by everyday people. And this first one, if you've ever had some... in someone in your life or yourself touched by cancer or been terminally ill, what do we have in store for the readers here?
We have Rehearsals for Dying, Digressions on Love and Cancer by Ariel Gore. And I know this is all heavy stuff from Monday morning.
That's a heavy place to start.
It's heavy, but this is reality, right?
And it's a relatable topic. Yes, because if you yourself have not been touched by this subject, there's undoubtedly somebody in your life that has been.
Absolutely. So Ariel Gore's wife, Dina, steps out of the shower one day and says, "Does my breast look weird?" And it does, in fact, look weird. And she is ultimately diagnosed with terminal breast cancer. But with empathy and a lot of humor, Ariel braids Dina's experiences of being sick with her own role as caretaker. And so it's a really heartbreaking and hopeful story.
And hopefully for folks that are going through a similar situation with that and don't know how to either navigate that world or they're looking for some connection for somebody else that has gone through that, an excellent story to be able to relate to.
That's why we read memoirs, right? You can see kind of how people find their sense of resolve, what strategies they use. I mean, there's a lot of courage that goes into writing books like this.
A lot of courage and a lot of love, which I think is a good segue for the next one as well. Do you need a reminder that love is much greater than the narrow ideals we've been taught to want?
Yes, such a great question. Read Love in Exile by Sean Fay. So Sean is a trans woman, and she grew up consumed with the idea that love was not for her. Romantic love and also self-love. And so you can imagine that these feelings like erupted in a lot of really destructive behavior. So now as an adult, she confronts this idea of lovelessness and really believes that it's symptomatic of bigger problems in our culture.
Okay.
So really great book.
All right. And that is number two recommendation from author Laura Bird, who is with us here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And we've got some excellent if you're watching us on the live streams for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, you can check out Laura's holding up the covers as well for the pieces here in the studio. And up next, we have the question for listeners. Do you have issues around foot and body image?
Food and body image.
Or food, excuse me.
Yeah. So read Hunger, A Memoir of My Body by Roxane Gay. So as a woman who describes her own body as wildly undisciplined, which I think is such a great phrase, Roxane Gay really understands the tension between desire and denial. And so in Hunger, in this new memoir, she writes about food, weight, self-image, and really learning how to feed her hunger while also learning how to take care of herself.
Yeah. And again, a topic that I think there's folks out there in our lives, whether if not ourselves, people that we know, and an excellent opportunity to be able to read that memoir and really relate to somebody else's story.
Absolutely.
And so up next, we've got, do you want to know more about neurodiversity and how people see the world through different lenses?
Great, great subject. You need to read Normally Weird and Weirdly Normal, My Adventures in Neurodiversity by Robin Ince. So Robin kind of reminds us all that no matter how weird we are or how weird we feel, it's okay to be different. So he's a British broadcaster and comedian, and he's entertained thousands of people in his career. But underneath the surface, he's struggled with self-doubt and near constant anxiety. And he's diagnosed with ADHD at the age of 52.
Wow.
So pretty, you know, later in life. Mm-hmm. And suddenly he needs to figure out how to turn his stumbling blocks into stepping stones. So this is a really quirky and witty dive into the world of human behavior.
And I think I can attest myself as somebody that's been on this side of the microphone, been behind the microphone, feelings like that are definitely present amongst broadcasters. So that I may have to bump that one up to the top of my summer reading list. Folks, you are listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I am Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat. He is hopefully going to be with us again tomorrow morning on a Tuesday morning edition of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I am joined right now in studio by author Laura Bird. We're discussing some of the memoirs that she has put together for us in a list to add for your summer reading list, talking to everyday individuals, though. These stories, not necessarily celebrity memoirs, but memoirs written that you can relate to going about your life, if, especially asking these questions. Have you ever grieved a miscarriage or the loss of someone that you love?
This is a tough one. So you need to read Firstborn by Lauren Christensen. So Lauren gets pregnant with a daughter that she and her husband named Simone, only Simone is never born. And Lauren loses her through miscarriage and then comes home from the hospital, you know, racked with grief, understandably, and literally starts writing her memoir. So right then and there. So she writes in this like fierce, intimate style, and she poses a really big, tough question. How do we live when everyone who makes up our world will someday be gone?
And a very powerful question. And I think the self-reflection and the journey that you can go on with Lauren on that one, it seems very, very powerful.
Absolutely.
And so we also have memoirs written for individuals that have given acts of service.
Yes.
So are you a military veteran or are you a military veteran who's a woman? And this one... this title, Laura?
Yeah. Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea, a veteran's memoir by Khadijah Queen. This one is getting a lot of hype this year.
Okay.
So it's the late 1990s, and a young Khadijah Queen is recruited to join the U.S. Navy while working a minimum wage job and really trying to manage her family's substance abuse problems. So things are pretty tough for her. So she's excited to go into the Navy. You know, she completes her grueling training, boards her ship, and she finds herself in even more traumatic situations because she has to deal with sexual harassment, racism, and some really demeaning labor assignments. So this is her masterful chronicle about survival and autonomy.
And again, situations that everyday folks are navigating, but may not necessarily have the words to fully understand the experiences they themselves have had. And memoirs like these, very, very powerful tools and folks being able to reflect and think deeply about what these subjects are truly trying to tackle.
Absolutely.
And so maybe the next question we have for this book would be maybe you're questioning the path you're on and wondering if there's a different way to live.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about this one.
Oh,
Laura.
So this is a good one. It's called A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun. By Sister Monica Claire. So surprisingly, this is actually a really funny memoir.
Okay.
It's soulful, funny, and it's about a chronic people pleaser who surprises everyone in her life and kind of herself too when she abandons her career as a photo editor and leaves her marriage in order to join the convent.
That sounds like a pretty heavy subject to all bring some brevity to with comedy, though.
Absolutely. So she really writes quite beautifully about the messiness that ensues when she finally stops and listens to that voice inside her head, calling her to a simpler, quieter life. So it's a great testimony about embracing our most authentic selves, even when it's hard and scary.
Okay. All right. And we got a couple more here.
Sure.
We've got recommendations from author Laura Bird. Add for memoirs to your summer reading list. Maybe you want to know what it's like to fight your way through poverty and still have a sense of humor on the other side. So another, another comedic memoir, or at least with some humor to it.
Yes, there's definitely humor here. And this book, Alligator Tears by Edgar Gomez, is getting a lot of buzz this year. So get your hands on this. In Florida, apparently, I grew up in Wisconsin, so I didn't learn this. Okay. But apparently you're taught as a kid that if you're ever chased by a wild alligator, the only way to save yourself is to run away in zigzags.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I visited Orlando a couple times growing up as a kid, and that sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that is a lesson on survival that has guided much of author Edgar Gomez's life. And so in this funny, wicked smart memoir, he shares very ziggy-zaggy anecdotes of growing up working class, queer, and Latinx, and how he's attempted to claw his family out of poverty by any means necessary.
All right. Another excellent read to add to the summer reading list. We've got a couple more here. We're going to try to add them to the podcast notes because we're running short on time here, Laura. Again, we've been speaking with author Laura Bird here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I am Luke Mathers filling in for Pat. I know he's looking forward to the next time you're able to join him here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And we really appreciate you being here in the studio with us this morning, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, we got Jane Matinere of Matinere on Air coming up to tease what is on her program with Greg Bach. This morning, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down.
IZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill backed by Donald Trump that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks.
Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is now 8:52 on a Monday morning. You are listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. No, it is not something off with your radio speakers this morning. I am not Pat Kreitlow. I am Luke Mathers, filling in this final half hour of the program for Pat, so he is able to rejoin us here stateside. Thanks for being with us. If you'd like to contribute to the show, you can join call or text for this final segment of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, 855-752-4842. And we are joined here on the show by the lovely, the incomparable Jane Matinere. Jane, how are we doing on this Monday morning?
I am good, Lukester. It was really a beautiful weekend, and I got no complaints.
No complaints? We had a little sunburn in our household. It was not fun. My wife was insistent that she stayed out of the sun well enough. And we returned home yesterday from we went to the Brewers game. I like to go to the ballpark with my dad for Father's Day.
Nice.
And we got back in the car and just fried. I was like, oh, like I was okay. I did not apply the sunscreen. I was kind of I was taking the gamble as well, but she is mystified. She does not know how well she got burned. But you've got a garden. How is the garden looking?
The garden is it's really growing.
All right.
It's, Greg and I were talking about this off the air this morning. What is it about some things you cannot kill them? I mean, the thistles, for example.
Yeah.
I have those in my yard. We have them now in front here at the WRJN on Radio Park here in Racine. I have done everything in my power to kill the thistles in my garden, and you can't.
And they're still there.
They can serve nuclear holocaust. Thistles will come through with it like roaches. But other things that you want to grow will not grow.
Right. It's, you never have that problem with the tomato plant or the zucchini that you're really hoping for, but
it
just doesn't work out.
I can't kill it. Yeah, that never happens. I'm not quite sure how that works. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we've got a show coming up for you here with Greg from 9 to 11. What is in store for listeners tuning in to Matt and Air on Air this morning?
Well, I would much rather start somewhere else, but we're going to be talking about the assassination of the Minnesota lawmaker and the attempted assassination of another Minnesota lawmaker and his wife. So we're going to begin with that. In the second half, after the 9:30 news, we're going to talk about the No Kings protests that were around the country yesterday at the same time that essentially Donald Trump's ego parade was going on in Washington, D.C. Kind of an interesting comparison when you look at the events that were going on around the country and then what was happening in D.C. I feel badly for our troops.
Yeah.
And I really do.
The side-by-side comparison, I think, and you have to go seek out multiple news sources, because if you're only watching one, you're going to get kind of the specific lens that those folks are putting on. So you got to kind of see. And I was perusing around the different coverage, and it was stark, the comparison between covering all the events. So an excellent recap of Saturday's events coming up on Matt and Air on Air throughout the 9 o'clock hour. And we saw as one of the staff members from Civic Media that attended the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's state convention over the weekend, was covering it for the network. There was heightened security on Saturday at the venue in the Wisconsin Dells. You could see that there were folks on edge, and that there was a sense of the really severity of the news from Minnesota, our neighboring state, throughout the weekend, with that increased presence at the state convention. And you're going to be talking with Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, who was with me there, about the state convention coming up today as well.
Yep. Dan Schaefer is going to join us for a recap of the state convention after the 10 o'clock news. So we will hear all of the inner workings of what happened over the weekend. We have a new head of Wisconsin Dems. So we will talk to Dan about that, among many other things. And then, as we always do, Luke, for the last half an hour of the show, we try and lighten things up so we can all take a breath, because we all need to get away from the news just for a little bit.
Yes.
So after 10:30, it's a segment we call Audio Sorbet, and we're going to talk. This is the hard-hitting stuff we're covering on Matt and Air on Air. Bagels, toasted or no?
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting.
You wouldn't think it was that hot of a discussion, it is.
It is one of those areas of conversation where if you talk, people are very, very motivated about their bagel preferences.
Very passionate about bagels. So after 10:30... hard-hitting stuff, bagels, toasted or no, for our audio sorbet. And then we'll wrap it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Catch Me If You Can edition. It's a good one.
All right.
It's a good. Well, they're all pretty good, but it's a good one.
Does Leo get to make an appearance too? Or is
there is travel involved.
Okay.
There is travel involved with today's tisbet.
Are you having Pat Kreitlow call in from the plane?
No, Pat Kreitlow's going to, provided Pat Kreitlow can get back in the country, he is going to be on the show tomorrow after 9:30.
Okay,
so,
there we go.
Yes, we can get adventures and travel with Pat Kreitlow tomorrow.
There we go. You're going to get to hear all about it. And folks, you can tune in tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. It's going to be a fun experience. It's going to be an experiment too. of we find out if Pat's back or if I'm going to be sitting here in the chair filling in for Mr. Kreitlo if his plane continues to have mechanical issues. Folks, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlo. We are joined this final segment of the morning by Jane Matinair, host of Matinair On Air, which you can tune into and listen throughout the Civic Media Radio Network from 9 until 11 each weekday morning. And any other big subjects coming up later this week, Jane? You got Pat tomorrow?
We have Pat tomorrow. We also have retired Major General Randy Manner is going to be joining us tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about Donald Trump electing to send in National Guard troops and military into Los Angeles, where they have not been requested, and many, many other things. Randy Manner has joined us numerous times over the last year or so, so I hope people can join us for that. That's all coming up tomorrow.
All right, fantastic. You're going to want to tune in to Matinair On Air weekdays across the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Thank you so much, Jane. It's always a pleasure to get to talk
good
with
to see you
on the
Luke.
Air.
See
good
you
to
later.
See you as well. Folks, you've been listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlo. Pat will hopefully be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. From then until now, have an excellent rest of your Monday, and we will talk to you soon.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. Officials in Minnesota say they've arrested 57-year-old Vance Bolter, accused of killing a state lawmaker and her husband over the weekend. Minnesota Public Safety Commissioner Bob Jacobson said Bolter posed as a police officer.
Bolter exploited the trust our uniforms are meant to represent. That betrayal is deeply disturbing to those of us who wear the badge with honor and responsibility.
More airstrikes have been traded between Iran and Israel. Israeli officials say at least 5 people were killed in overnight missile attacks by Iran. ABC News foreign correspondent Ian Pannell is there.
A devastating strike in the heart of Tel Aviv. An Iranian ballistic missile evading air defense, exploding in a downtown residential neighborhood. Hundreds of emergency workers flooding the scene, scouring for survivors.
Meanwhile, in Gaza, 34 people have now been killed after shooting erupted near food distribution centers. This is ABC